long have you been doing music for?
Well, making it since I was about 15, but in my head it's always been there, really. So it's always been making music, really, always.
And what made you go from the head to the real?
Machines, access to the machines, the computers. Once you knew what the computers could do, you could just get into it then. But to be honest, I didn't really start on the computer. I started on a little groove box. So I was kind of programming like beats and stuff like that from about 15.
How old are you now?
18.
I'm 23.
You look it too, bro.
That's good. Thank you very much. I'll take that compliment. And you've been living in London for a while because you've still got your brothers here, but you seem to have retained your accent from Wolverhampton-ish. More than him, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, he's London. He's London-fied. But to be honest with you, it's not even that strong, you know. There's, like, deeper Wolves accents, but... But yeah, Wolves has always been quite important to what it is that I do, to be honest with you. So,
was there always a scene there? Was there some stuff that you could kind of connect to with their clubs that you could check out, or dances and stuff?
Yeah, there was, but it was more kind of like, it wasn't rave or anything like that, because I was obviously a bit too young for that. So it was more, it's more quite commercial stuff. Like, so I spent quite a bit of time listening to like. Wolves as well, which is quite a small town, like Josh Wink and stuff like that. And then, yeah, it's been Nirvana and all that kind of stuff. So it was getting quite grungy as well. But as you get a bit older, you start going to big man's clubs. And I think one of the most important clubs for me in Wolves was the Canal Club. Saw quite a few cool DJs, you know. Tony Humphries, they were bringing those kind of DJs over. So I got quite an early insight into dance music at club level.
Now, your new album has just come out on Honest John's. It's called Splash. And it's very difficult to pull a track out, because for me it's an album that you just put on at the beginning and it just goes, and it just takes you to lots of different places. It's really touches a lot of different nerves, and it really works as a whole album. We were talking about it outside and I had the feeling from you that it was more of a sort of transitionary album. Where does it fit into your world at the moment, looking back on it now?
Still listen to a few of the tracks, but they're quite intense tracks. And when you spend as long as I did on them, you kind of, you know, in real time, you kind of you become the track sort of thing, if you know what I mean. So you know all the corners that they're there. For fresh ears, I don't know how it's going to be experienced, but I just know that making them, I really enjoyed it, and. It was an interesting time. Yeah.
Have you got a particular favourite track that you can kind of go back to now and go, yeah, this is the one that really sort of highlights this period in my life?
There's no tracks on there that highlights a period in my life, to be honest with you. I just make music. But I've got a few favourites off there, but one that stands out, which kind of says more about the transition in the kind of skills that you try and develop in the studio. Which is the last track on the album. I don't think it is, actually. Is it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the last track on the album.
Casanova, cool. Well, listen, I've played a few tracks already on this podcast, as you've heard, and we're going to play Casanova now. And
pretty mental tune, are you sure?
No, of course, it's all good. That's what podcasts are here for.
All right.
Yeah, if it was Radio 1, it might be different. and then what we'll do is we'll pull out some stuff, because I wanted to hear sort of, you know, just sort of music that you're into, both new and old.
Yeah.
You know, a few inspirations. So let's play Casanova.
Okay.
Okay, so that's Casanova from Actress. The new album is called Splash. It's on Honest John's Records. Is it on vinyl as well, CD?
It's on both formats.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
I think digital, yeah.
Honest John's doing a brilliant job. I think they do a really good job of sort of, you know, presenting it as well. It's kind of, are you happy with the whole sort of where that label fits in terms of the philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, fantastic creatives there. Will Bankhead, I've got to thank for kind of spending a little bit of time with me to kind of get an idea of what it was that I wanted to get across from a vision perspective.
So
visual perspective.
Will Bankhead did the artwork.
He did, yeah.
He did all the MoWax stuff.
Yeah, he did. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he's very good. He's a great guy. Listen, I want to get into your sort of, you know, I saw you in fact playing. What was it about a year ago? We were doing a party and I hadn't met you before, and you started playing some tracks, and you played Eye Level. And I was telling you that I used to play the other side, Minefield. But it was quite a nice surprise to hear it. Let's play a few tracks. And should we play three tracks? Do you want to tell me a little bit about the tracks you want to play right now?
Let me play a track that I heard every Sunday, basically, growing up. My mum would put it on. We'd just be in the house together, and she'd put it on every Sunday. And it's a track by Dionne Warwick, which I'm sure is one of her favourite artists, and it's called Do You Know The Way To San Jose.
Brilliant arrangement.
Amazing arrangement, from a different place, really.
Yeah, yeah, she's made some incredible music, Dionne Warwick. I think that's Burt Bacharach, isn't it?
Burt Bacharach, yeah.
On that song. And so you'll play that, and then you're going to play a bit of Eye Level, maybe?
Yeah, I'd love to play Eye Level. I mean, I think people need to hear that track.
And where'd you get that from? Where did you hear that? Was that your mum?
No, I found that actually. I found that in a record shop that I go to, which I'm not going to tell you where it is or anything like that, because it's quite a small record shop and I don't think that many people go there. So that one's for me, really. But I found it there in London, in South London somewhere.
It's a hint.
Yeah. Oh. It blew my mind, really.
Any more clues? South London? No. It's a big place, South London.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? People should really know kind of where I lived in South London. It's in the vicinity.
SE or SW?
SW.
Okay.
I'm sure you've been there, Charles, to be honest with you.
All right, so we're going to play some Eye Level. What track is it? Because it's the B-side of Minefield, right? It's called...
Minefield is the A-side,
oh, yeah.
Actually. And again, going for the B-sides, it's the B-side, and then number four it's called.
Number four, that's right. And then what are you going to play after that?
And then after that, I'd quite like to play something by Paul Johnson.
Mm.
Which is a track which he... I've already said this, or...
No, you haven't.
Which
no.
is a
well,
track...
you have, but you haven't.
Yeah, okay. Which is a track that he made his commercial hit, Get Down, I think it was called, actually. Exactly, that's the one. And big track for me, Wolves, that one as well.
It's funny, I played that. I was in Belgrade last weekend. I was doing a party, and this has never happened to me before. It was outdoors, and I had some vinyls with me, but it was an outdoor party where they sort of set up the gear, and so you don't really want to rely on vinyls in those sort of festival type places. But I did have a bit of vinyl on me. Anyway, there was two CD players, and I'd just gone on. There was about 1,500 people. It was kind of going off a little bit, not completely, but it was on the edge of going off.
Yeah.
And it was really hot. It was like 35 degrees at night. And this has never happened to me before, but the CDJ broke down on me. And I literally only had one CDJ playing, and I had to pull a vinyl out. And I was panicking because I just didn't really... I hadn't imagined this scenario ever. And there was all these people, and I was a bit stressed out anyway. I was a bit tired. I wasn't really in the zone. So it was a bit of a panic moment, and I suddenly pulled out... I had Paul Johnson on me.
He had it, man. It followed you.
And I played it. And it worked.
It follows you, man. That's right. Yeah, it's a cool track.
It is a good track. Yeah. Maybe you should play that as well. That one.
Yeah, let me show the kind of, like, birth kind of that track. That would be really cool, you know.
And which track are you going to play by Paul Johnson?
It's called Knob Twist. And I'm just trying to think the label that it was on. I'm pretty sure it was Nightlife Collective. But I bought that years ago. I bought that when I was about I was about 13. No, to be honest with you, I was about 20 when I bought that record. And shopping in Hard to Find in Birmingham, that's where I found that one.
Well, let's play them. So yeah, let's play Dionne Warwick, Eye Level, and a bit of classic Paul Johnson.
Cool.
Darren Cunningham, aka Actress, playing some new and some old. We've played some tracks off the new LP, which is called Splash, really good to hear some influences there. It's great. I mean, you know, Paul Johnson, Dionne Warwick, Eye Level, hitting a lot of different sort of eras of music, and they've all got their own sound, but you're putting out a lot of music, or making a lot of music, it seems to me, and you've got some new stuff that you can play for us right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to play a track which I finished recently, which is more of a kind of Mark's development of Splash, and I think it's out of development at the moment, but I think there may be potential for some vocals on there, but I'm going to play it. It's called It Was All a Dream.
Great. Was it It's All a Dream, Actress? Is that going to be coming out soon?
There's absolutely no plans for that right now. I mean, it's for me, when I start thinking about, I don't really start thinking about releasing music, to be honest with you. Once you're in the process of writing it, you just want to get it. You just want to get it written and sounding right and actually executing it how you think the track needs to be executed. So it's just one of those which is in form, just being, you know, being written and has potential to go in different places. So yeah, I don't. It's just one of those ones, really.
I mean, how is it for you as an artist making music in 2010 and sort of, you know, working out a plan or a career, or, you know, you're full time in this job making music? So do you sort of think about, how am I going to make ends meet? Or you just completely like, look, you know, like an artist would be with sort of, you know, just, you're just painting and you're making your music and you're putting it, once you've done it, is it put aside? Have you got a plan for, you know, is, how does that work in your head?
Well, you have to try and have an idea of what the plan is, which gives you, kind of bearing as to whether you'll manage to put it together. It's a target, it's an aim, it's a goal. You kind of set yourself like different targets and stuff, whilst kind of trying to create your own philosophy in music, I suppose, is kind of what I'm trying to grab at. There's been loads of past influences, both from the electronic world and music that I listen to in my own spare time, whether that's kind of sugar pop, R&B or reggae or dub or hip-hop or whatever it may be. You know, when you're actually writing your own music, it's something that should define your character, I suppose. That's kind of, that is as basic as I like to keep it, really. Outside of that, in terms of making ends meet and surviving, that's just the way of the world, really, no matter what it is that you're doing. Obviously, you know, slightly more difficult in the arts, but you know, it's just a question of whether you can create something that people are interested in. That's it.
And to sort of go around the music, a lot of producers, they end up DJing a lot, or they end up sort of doing live shows. Are you doing a lot of stuff? I mean, you've just come back from some dates around the States and Canada, right? Are you doing a lot of that stuff?
Currently, yes. But to be honest with you, I've done my fair share of like knocking around like small clubs and stuff like that way back when, to be honest with you. I was carrying out my like drum machines and my synths and my computer and my effects processors and setting up and, you know, playing a show and then going back to the promoter's house and sleeping on the floor. I've done those already, man. You know, I've been doing that since I was about 16, to be honest with you. But now that I've got like a few tracks in album forms and done a bit of work behind the scenes in terms of trying to bring through like new artists and things like that, then you kind of, I do anyway, I viewed the live thing in a completely different way, really, because I'm in a completely different stage in my career. So when I do go out to play live, it really is a kind of, I have a general idea of how I'm going to start a live piece, and I have an idea of how the live set is going to end, but I generally don't have an idea of what's going to happen in between. So I've set myself the challenge of improvising, going up and improvising on stage with the music that I've written so far, which is not easy because, you know, obviously, you know, you've heard the music, it's quite varied and all over the place, really. So I still really enjoy playing live, and I've just gotten off the back of playing in the States, did a few shows in North America, New York and Montreal, Boston, and then I did a show in LA as well. So that was an amazing experience, really. So it's all been good, and the reaction's been really good as well.
I mean, musically as well, where do you fit in, and where do you find that you're fitting in, you know, in terms of scenes and stuff? Because on one hand, you know, you've worked with Code 9, and you're in LA, you're probably kind of getting a lot of play from the sort of more Flying Lotus-y type of people. Then I can hear the sort of Theo Parrish underground type of Detroit in you. I mean, are you getting sort of, you're across a lot of scenes, right? Are you?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, there's definitely key DJs from key scenes who are playing the music, and it's not all dancefloor friendly. I mean, that's hardly any of it's dancefloor friendly, really. but yeah, it's or to my mind anyway. But yeah, there's, you know, I've just actually today finished an idea for Code 9's record Don't Wash Dub, which is a little bit late, whether it actually gets released or not I'm not too sure, but I kind of quickly finished an idea today which I'd like to play. And but here, you know, Code's been really supportive, and Theo Parrish also has been very supportive. He's played I think he's been playing Lost on the dance floors quite a bit. You know, people like Anthony Sheikh Shakir and Moody Man who give you kind of like, give a signal that they're kind of feeling the music. That's kind of all you need, really. Yeah. You don't need anybody, really, kind of.
I think that the people that you're mentioning there anyway, they're all kind of, they're just their own people, and yeah, they do their thing, and they're very inspirational, and they don't just do music for the sake of music. There's a reason, there's a philosophy in all of those people, and I think that that's certainly something that I'm catching off you in a big way, whereas a lot of other producers, it seems to be more just something to do, and then it's gone. I mean, there's
a place for all of that, you know. There's absolutely place for that. You need music that is geared towards the dance floor with just people having fun, really. I mean that is really, that is what it's all about. It's having a bit of fun, getting on the dance floor and having a dance, and, you know, getting young people inspired to kind of dance to crazy music. That's what it's all about, really. That's what it's always been about, from rave through to now. You know, it should, it, you know, that's how it's always been. So there's a place for all of that, in my opinion.
Have you got a dream gig, a dream lineup? If you could sort of play on the same lineup as a bunch of other people, artists, live bands?
Not particularly, you know, not really. I mean, I've played with quite a few people. Like, I've played on the same bill as Underground Resistance, which is like a big thing, really, for me. So, like, when you've done things like that, you just lock it away and, you know, just move on to the next thing. I've got my records at home, just listen to those. That's it, stay at home. Stay at home, rude boy.
Okay, what are we going to play next? We'll just play another track. So, what did we speak about? We spoke about one track, we've just been chatting away, haven't we? What was the track that we first used? Oh, yeah, there was the track. Oh, I wouldn't mind playing the track. Have you done the, have you got the remix of the.
Yeah, I've got that track, yeah.
Should we play that?
Yeah.
And have you got anything else? What else should we play after that? Should we play. One of your zombie things?
My zombie things, there's only one zombie, really, you know.
You're collaborating, right? Oh, no, not zombie, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Zombie. I wouldn't call it a collaboration, you know. We're just making music together. And really, that is it. We've done a few things together, but, I mean, as it is, we're just making music.
Do you find it quite... difficult to go in with somebody else, with, because when you're making music on your own and all that, you've got your way of, your formula of doing it, or your you know, the ways you do those things. So going in with somebody else, even if they're a friend, do you have to sort of, can that be difficult? Or?
I think a lot of that depends how you do it, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, I'm normally quite a sociable person, so it's not really a problem for me to kind of sit down with people, but there's loads of ways to make music, isn't there? And we just vibe, really, and we've just put a few things together and just put them up and just allow people to hear what we've been up to. It doesn't really go much beyond that at this stage.
Is there a track that we can play?
Yeah, I've got a track called Tropics, which people seem to be enjoying as well. So yeah, we should play that one.
Great. Okay, so that's a bunch of great tracks. Thanks a lot for bringing those in.
That's okay, mate.
And sharing them with us. I've lost what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I remember now. Hazyville, the album. That was your first record, Verk Discs?
First album, yeah.
Yeah, that was your first album. Are you going to be sort of doing some more stuff on your own label? You've got some other people coming through? Because you've kind of introduced me to Loan, amongst other things, right? That was one of... You put Loan's music out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I've put out his second album. He's done stuff previous to that, which people should backtrack and check out. But, he's another really, really good producer coming through at the moment, and we've got a 12-inch by him, which is just one of the best records for me that's been released for a long time. And I think that's also on Code 9's K7 mix as well, so people can check that out there. But yeah, I shall obviously be releasing more music on my label at some point.
I wouldn't mind doing a session, if we could, at one stage, like a live session with you, if you're going to be sort of up for doing that.
What kind of session?
Just a session where you can kind of get your gear and... Do you do stuff where you...
You're talking about live?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do you do that kind of thing? You done a Maid of Vale session?
Oh, yeah. Maid of Vale sessions. We can probably do something on that one, yeah. I'll have to have a think about it.
Yeah, when you're ready, man. There's time. It's all good, man.
Okay.
Okay, so what should we finish off with? Let's finish off with a couple of tracks. Let's play... Yeah, give me a couple more new bits and we'll call it a day after that.
Okay, I'd like to play a new thing by a young lad that's coming through at the moment. He's just finished his A-levels, actually. He's like 16. This is a new track which I've been quite... I just like it, you know. It's post-garage, which is where things have been going anyway. But there's something about it which is slightly different. He's got a motif to his sound which he separates him, I believe. So I think that needs to be heard, to be honest with you. I've got a track by Instrumental that I'm going to be releasing on Work, which you should really play a quick snippet of that.
Thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah, it's fine, mate.
Cheers.